Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn, BK, on a much-deserved personal day. My man John's back here twisting and tweaking the dials. It's the Bat Tuesday, but I got to tell you, ain't no reason we'd ever... You won't hear this song on the bat.
No.
You definitely won't.
No. But.
Eddie's Jams, though, is what we've turned the Bat Tuesday into.
Exactly.
But I love the selection, John. Mm-hmm. Well done, sir.
Yes, sir. This is the 80s, just barely. 89, well, Fight the Power with Public Enemy.
Yeah, I would have been surprised.
89?
89, yeah.
You think you'd be hearing this on the old school hip-hop hump day or way back where I
You would.
Say. But no, got a Public
we
Enemy.
Don't have, hey, we don't have a show tomorrow.
I know, so. We have a day off, so not made good.
All about that, man. There you go. All right, so my man John back there doing a great job playing 80s jams on the show today. You can always be a part of the show. You can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. All you got to do is tap into the Horn FM. Go to Horn FM. You can tap into the Twitch stream there. There should be a link there. It should be that easy. You also can go to the Twitterverse to follow us there. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. BK at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. All right. The legislation for name, image, and likeness, which on a statewide level, we've seen the name, image, and likeness legislation pretty much across the board. It's spread pretty rapidly. And at this time, I believe there are, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say there are probably 16 states that are expected to have legalized name, image, and likeness, or at least have it as a state law where student athletes can profit off of their name, image, and likeness. Well, the Texas House overwhelmingly approved a Senate bill on Sunday that also would allow Texas student athletes to earn compensation for use of their name, image, and likeness, paving the way for legislation to reach the governor's desk this week. The House approved by 117-27 votes. Senate Bill 1385, authored by Brandon Creighton, Republican.
Can we just sit back,
the state in step with a nationwide trend? Go ahead.
Sorry. And enjoy. No, my bad. And enjoy that blowout. Because in politics today, you know, with how divisive it is, you just don't get an overwhelming vote like that very often.
You don't.
You know, like there's nothing that they can all agree on. And on this one, you bring in college athletics and it's either going to help or hurt our schools. Man, that'll divide that blue, or that'll bring that blue and red together pretty damn quickly.
Yeah, it's a bipartisan issue at this time,
and not
that's
many.
Why. Yeah, and that's why it's gaining a lot of support, because there are a lot of Republicans and Democrats who do see the upside of this law, and a lot of people believe that student athletes have been exploited for a while now, and there is a movement to try to rectify that, or at least to balance out the scales. So Texas could become the 17th state to pass a bill to allow athletes to use their name, image, and likeness to profit. Besides California, Florida, others are Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, Maryland, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And you hit the nail on the head, KD. The reason that this is important and the reason that there must be some hasty decision, they got to do this very quickly, is because if they do decide to wait, and let's say the Texas lawmakers decide, oh, you know what, ours will take effect, our law will take effect in 2022 or late in 2021, they could have a serious recruiting disadvantage.
Yep.
Right? If one state decides, oh, you know what, no, our law takes effect July 2021. Boom, they can start team, you know, states can start actually using name, image, and likeness in their recruiting pitch to student athletes. And I don't know exactly how that's going to go. That could become a decisive, exponential advantage for a lot of teams. And you're going to see a lot of states, especially Texas, who is one of the football meccas here, Texas cannot allow other states, and we know California and Florida are also in that category, but they can't allow other states to start siphoning their talent even more than they already do
because
of the name, image, and likeness issue.
Yeah, and you've got California and Florida that passed this 2 years ago.
Yep.
So, you know, you want to make sure you're one of those 17, as you mentioned. Shocking Alabama jumped on so quickly. that was right up there with education on their list of what to figure out in the state.
Quick, fast, and a hurry.
Let's get this done and get... Because that was one thing, Alabama and Auburn. We talk about two sides never agreeing on anything. They could come together and be like, yeah, we can do that. But the two people that voted against it, at least in the Senate, it was 28-2.
No, 28-2.
In the Senate. Like, that is, you're just asking to not be reelected. Because that is the one thing, it's one of the few things that we just mentioned that you could bring up. And that could be the end of your political career, or at least trying to get reelected to whatever you're running for. That I was surprised to even see that, but it was a blowout in both ways. So, Texas is going to jump on board. I'm glad.
And here is to me what's going to become an even larger issue, because the specificity of these laws and the different interpretations of these laws is going to be everything,
mm-hmm.
right? So South Carolina, their bill is compelling schools to set aside $5,000 per year in a trust for each football player to be distributed at graduation. So that's part of their law.
Right.
Which is going to help their schools recruit.
Yep.
It's like, well, actually part of our law, you're going to get money anyway. Even if you ain't got the name, image, and likeness thing, we're putting this in our law for South Carolina schools to give them an advantage. New Mexico prohibits schools from denying an athlete enrollment if they earned name, image, and likeness compensation as a recruit.
Okay.
So they're basically saying, yeah, we're gonna try to skirt the rules a little bit. Even as a recruit, we're going to see if we can, here in New Mexico, our law will be so different that you guys can come in here and end up making some money off name, image, likeness as a recruit, potentially.
Yeah.
Iowa, they're going to cap the number of hours per week a student athlete can participate in athletic activity, depending on name, image, and likeness. Mississippi, their bill allows the university to impose limitations on the date and time a player may participate in name, image, and likeness events. The Bama bill gives student athletes an option to either, you're like this. The Alabama bill.
Yeah.
Call it the Bama bill.
The Auburn bill too.
Yeah, Auburn too. The Alabama state bill gives student athletes the option to get either $10,000 a year as a stipend or participate in name, image, and likeness, meaning you can give up your name, image, and likeness status, sign it away, and they'll just give you $10,000 a year.
So if I'm the backup punter, I do that.
Hell yeah.
Right.
If I'm any position other than quarterback,
yeah,
I'd make that deal. But that also, it's going to help them recruit.
It's going to help them recruit. I wonder for the close ones, like a center like Landon Dickerson, he's got to be thinking, if I can just get one car dealership, I can outdo that. I'm an All-American center.
No, you're right. I mean, these bills, the New York bill.
Now, Tua would obviously say, I appreciate it, but
I'm going to take my chance. Yeah. Yes, I'm saying, like, we have no idea individually how it's going to work state to state. The New York bill requires 15% of the athletic department revenue to be put aside into a fund to be divided by the players each year, the student athletes each year.
I love that.
It's unbelievable. So basically what Uncle Sam is going to step in and do.
This should have happened a long time ago, but
it's going to become the Wild Wild West, where you're going to start seeing these crazy little, you know, addendums and these little stipulations and parts of these bills and these laws that are going to give some states a lopsided advantage in recruiting. You'll see Uncle Sam step in and there'll be a federal mandate. There'll be kind of a federal law that everybody has to abide by. That will happen at one point, but it's not happening right now. So now it's like legalized marijuana.
Yeah.
It's state to state. Do whatever you want to do. And everybody's about collecting the tax revenue from it, which also is going to be a huge windfall.
Just make sure if you're crossing states, you know which one's cool with it.
That also, too. Yeah, you're right.
But that also, it just like that affects certain economies state to state, this will affect certain schools recruiting state to state.
No
and
doubt.
And it's like, all right, if you're not one of the 17, I'm not even looking at that. Because, and look, I talk about a lot how sometimes we can give power, maybe a little bit too much power to people that even if they've earned it, are in a different spot, a younger spot. This should have been the case a long time ago. I mean, I think most people can get on the same page that these kids have been taken advantage of.
Yeah. And by the way, the young men and women cannot use the school when they are advertising and endorsing a product for another company, they can't use the University of Texas.
Right.
Like, you're not going to be able to have the Longhorn on there. They have to just know the student athlete.
Right.
So that's why brand recognition and name recognition, all that's going to be big. That's why for Texas, which is the quarterback mecca lately, right, in college football, what position is going to have most of these endorsements?
Quarterback. Yeah.
Because you just can recognize the face, national leadership position, all that kind of stuff. Texas produces more of those quarterbacks, more of those players than any other state. I know it sounds crazy, but in terms of a commodity and an economy that this creates, you don't want those assets leaving the state.
No.
You know what I mean? Because
I don't want those asses leaving the state. Yeah.
But we're creating a market now, right? This is a sports industrial complex. And if you're looking at it as from a state level, in terms of revenue that's going to be created, you keeping your Heisman Trophy winning players from Texas in the state, she's going to be big. The Baker Mayfields that would be from the state. And you know what? It may be in his best interest, since he was born in the state and played football down there at Lake Travis. To try to stay in the state.
Cade Klubnik,
same thing. Sam Ehlinger, right? His profitability here in Austin, here in Texas, will be a whole lot better than him in Virginia. Hudson Carr.
Yeah.
Right? I think you're going to start seeing those conversations happening only for quarterback, though, right? Because that position in itself, we all agree, in terms of profitability and, in terms of the recognizable ability of the quarterback position, it stands out more than anything else.
Yeah, if you're a linebacker, you're still probably looking at Bama, and I don't blame you.
Exactly. No, it doesn't matter for you. For a DB like Robbie, you're just a DB, you nameless, faceless guy, unless you're a Thorpe Award winner, you're Michael Huff.
I'm going to be curious, though, for a guy like you who did get All-American honors and you've got the personality that we've all gotten to know on the radio now. I could see you being, you're a good salesman for the stuff that, that you like now, right? And yeah. So, I could see a Vaquero saying, well, we like Rod Babers, and he's known enough that we're going to give it a shot, to where you may look at it and go, nah, I can get more than the 10,000.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting, man. I don't know how it's going to work out. I would like to read that bill, this Texas State bill, and see what little, added bonus they threw in there.
Yeah.
Open for interpretation type things.
Well, it also brings up the question now of the NCAA and how the NCAA is going to do this. So they had a meeting last Wednesday, and, there are some things they're worried about, that they're not going to be protected on implementing the NIL rules unless they get help, federal help from Congress.
Yeah, they're going to need it.
And they're going to need that, too. So if they don't get that help, then they could be exposed legally on some different fronts, and some of that could be class action lawsuits. So former athletes who weren't allowed NIL rights during their time in college could choose to sue the NCAA.
Hey. Ed
O'Bannon, exactly, wasn't at UCLA when he ends up going after EA.
Damn right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You could come together and say, look, we were making a lot of money for Texas. We want to get in on this now.
Where's my name, image, and
likeness? Right.
And retroactively, that Ed O'Bannon case, EA Sports, did pay off student-athletes, football players, back to 2005. They all got a stipend to pay them off for their participation, I guess, in EA Sports for their name, image, and likeness. Now, I missed out on it because I graduated in 2002. Or at least my eligibility was done, so I missed out on the payment. Damn it.
I know. But how is that fair?
That's not fair.
I mean, it's life. You could say you're born when you're born, but it's still not fair.
I don't get why they stopped in 2003. I was like, go back to when the game started and pay everybody who was ever on the game.
Let's go back to the 80s.
Well, please.
Go back to when the game
started. Go back to when the game started and pay all those people.
Bill Walsh, early 90s.
Come on, man.
Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I don't just want the bread. Pay Rod B. Pay all of us.
Here's another thing that the NCAA could be worried about with just exposing themselves legally, and this is why they're really going to need help from Congress. So how is an NCAA in Congress, how are they going to manage this? You got 17 states that are down for it. Well, the NCAA still has a part in this. The certain language in the legislation could put caps on compensation, and that could open the NCAA up to antitrust challenge. Like, there's little things like that. I'm certainly not a lawyer, but reading through it, that I thought, well, like most things, there's going to be more details to this, and you're always, as a company or corporation, trying to protect your ass legally.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's Georgia. And I could be wrong. I believe it's Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. But one of the states, actually, the language in their law, their name, image, and likeness law, allows for the school to take up to 75% of the revenue created by the name, image, and likeness. Like, they can take 75% of the student athlete's money. Like, they can do that.
Wasn't it like 74.6?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how they came up with that number.
Up to 75.
Yeah, I'll find out what state it is because I might have bad-mouthed Georgia. I might not do that. We'll see.
So the NCAA is looking to appoint a third-party administrator and to kind of oversee the NIL contracts and agreements, but there's still a lot to be done here. I think they're moving in the right direction, and Rod, the more states that jump on it, then at some point the NCAA is just going to have to say, okay, we're going to do that. But the NFL has been put in this similar situation with weed, with marijuana, when you've got certain, you've got certain guys or certain states where it's legal to do it, but then some where it's illegal. And they finally caved and said, you know what, we're not going to test for weed anymore.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. I think there needs to be some uniformity with this because the Texas law.
You know how unfair that'd be if only these 17 states did it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those 17 states will have a huge recruiting windfall, and it would really be an advantage for a ton of those states. And I think, you know, the agents, that's, I think, the big reason to be skeptical of name, image, and likeness and where it could go and how it could be corrupted. You know, how involved are the agents going to be? They're going to get involved.
Yeah.
The agents are going to get involved. How do they get involved, and how do you put in different, deterrents? How do you put in different things that can...
Guardrails.
Yeah, different things that can check and balance that potential corruption that the agents are going to present because they're going to get involved, man. You can't deny it. You can't act like...
And they're already involved.
They're already involved, but don't act like now they're not going to try to cash in on name, image, and likeness, too. They are. Somebody's going to be negotiating these deals. Who's negotiating these deals? Who's negotiating the deals? Moms, dads?
Right.
Kids?
And
are they cold calling?
To me, that's unfair to them. They should be able to have some representation.
You need representation to go sell you.
I would do it like,
and negotiate a deal.
I would do it like baseball does, where you can have an advisor as you're kind of setting that up. Oh, I know. I mean, it's
no, I agree with you.
It's completely laughable. But we're also like the NCAA loves to do. We're pretending that our kids aren't having sex yet.
Yeah.
If you know they are, you might as well
have the conversation
that reality
about having protection.
And get into things, you know, that we may want to do to make sure that it didn't go.
That's a great point.
Didn't go off the rails.
No, you're right. Because the agents, we know the agents are going to get involved, and
they're already
there.
Involved.
And if not, they're going to use some proxy, or they're going to use some shady uncle or some shady agent to get it done. Why not, like you said, recognize it and say, all right, let's label them as advisors, let's vet them, and let's give them rules to abide by so that they don't cross the line. And if they do that, I'm with you. I think it'll work. If not, man, this thing is ripe for corruption. This thing could get so nasty and grimy. It could be the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
And Texas shouldn't worry because Texas will benefit from it.
No. No, Texas just like the transfer portal, Texas is going to benefit from it.
Texas is going to benefit from it.
And they benefited from the transfer portal. They're going to be one of those schools. They're going to benefit from this, too.
They really are.
And the exposure they have and the type of money that their fan base will pay. And that's also where you just got to be careful that, like, what if you got a car dealer who says, you know what, I'm going to pay this left tackle $55,000. You're going to pay a left tackle, a true freshman who's coming in
totally
$55,000? I'm allowed to.
Totally agree. How do you?
I like left tackles.
How do you stop these two really rich, wealthy boosters and donors from going, I'll sign a contract with the whole damn defensive backfield?
Who's your guy love at SMU? What's his name that you love?
Oh, Sherwood Blount.
Sherwood Blount.
What a shame. Yeah, these shady name
Sherwood
guys.
Sherwood Blount. Sherwood.
That's a real name, people.
Yeah.
And he was involved in one of the greatest, one of the worst college football scandals of all time.
Oh, kind of greatest, too.
It was.
Yeah, kind of both.
He was literally paying guys.
He was pretty crazy.
He was paying guys, man. That was great. Sherwood Blount. So, for some reason, the shady names are always responsible for college football scandals.
For shady stuff?
Shady stuff.
Yeah.
Sherwood Blount at SMU. Remember Lloyd Lake and Michael Michaels? Those were the SMU scandal guys.
Yeah.
Michael Michaels? That was his name?
Michael Michaels.
Michael Michaels. Yeah, I'm here. Imagine if a guy went to make a deal with you and his name was Michael Michaels. You'd be like, no way.
At least go Mikey Michaels.
right?
Michael Michaels.
If he's a serial killer or he's a hustler. Either way, Michael Michaels, Lloyd Lake.
Who was your guy, the Oregon guy, who you went to school with?
Willie Lyles. Oh, yeah.
Willie, what do you have in store for me?
I went to school with Willie Lyles. Yeah, you're right.
Oh.
And Willie was just a hustle man. I knew Willie as a hustle man, and then when I heard Willie was a hustle man, I was like, yeah, I'm not. Well, bag man.
It fits.
Whatever.
I guess we got that
allegedly.
I guess we got that one right in the yearbook, huh?
Yeah, Willie was cool though.
Most
Willie,
likely to.
Willie's good people, though. I will say that Willie's cool people. Yeah.
Texas becomes the 17th state to pass the bill. Abbott has to sign off on it.
He will.
I don't think
he's about to sign off on a law that you can just carry a gun.
Right.
It's a Wild Wild West law.
I think he's going to sign off to this. He's also a very big college football fan. All right, we'll continue to update you on that. But good news if you're in the state of Texas. Hey, we're bringing everyone together. That's good news for Aggies, Bears, Longhorns, Red Raiders, the state's moving in that direction. Let's get to One and Done coming up next. Had a pretty interesting tweet earlier, and it got me thinking about the best UT crowds, the loudest UT crowds I've ever seen. I wanted to dig into Rod's brain a little bit. And on the field, what were some of the loudest ones? We'll get into that and also get back to lifetime coaches. What coaches deserve lifetime contracts? This is The Horn.
I like that five-star recruit in Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go One and Done in Twitter. I always say it's a giant bathroom wall. But if you've ever really stared at a bathroom wall, a giant one, sometimes you get some funny jokes in there. Sometimes you get some good material. And actually, we're lucky here because we've got a lot of good followers. So I don't think it's as septic as it is for a lot of different people. Agreed. You know what I mean? We get a lot of text people, but hey, and this is kind of what I got today.
We got some classy folks.
We do. It was... what's the loudest and the best Texas crowd you've ever seen? And I thought about it. And, you know, I've been going to Texas games forever. And football-wise, it stands out pretty quickly. Now, I have to separate OU games, right?
Yeah. Texas OU is obviously different because of it's not at DKR. And it's split 50-50. So it's not always necessarily that loud because – one side's either cheering, right? And sorry about that random video they played. One side is either cheering and one side's disappointed in the outcome.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the game, you get both sides cheering.
You do.
Because they're really excited. But other than that, throughout the game, there's momentum shifts and one side's either, you know, scoring or making a play and the other side's, you know, disappointed or upset. So it's not necessarily really loud.
No.
In the Texas OU game all the time. Only at the beginning, the very beginning, is it really, really loud where both sides are loud. Usually, if you're at a home field, that's when you can get a really, really loud outcome because everybody is cheering at one time. All the 100,000 or whatever.
In terms of being loud, probably not. In terms of being raucous and just all over the place
and
a surreal type crowd, you get that. And a lot of that, too, is if you're in the Texas section and they're doing well.
Yeah, Texas.
Kind of getting back to your point.
Texas OU, in terms of how you unique it is, and you're right, and how surreal the experience is of a crowd split 50-50. And I've had some Texas fans who end up in the sea of red before where their seats are there. Rough. And they say that is a crazy experience. You got to have a buzz, and hopefully you end up around some classy Sooners that don't want to be total a-holes, but that's rare.
Yeah.
So, right, you end up in hostile territory a lot in the Texas OU game as a fan.
So, right? Football for me, it's hands down, and that's Houston 1990. Houston had just beaten up on Texas, and getting some of the replies today on Twitter kind of reminded me of just how raucous that crowd was. Texas had been waiting for Houston. The Cume score of the last 3 years, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, Texas was just getting destroyed and giving up 60-plus to Andre Ware for a couple years.
Hell yeah.
They offered as a DB, and then David Klingler.
Did they really offer him as a DB too?
Yeah.
Man, that's been a theme. That's crazy.
That one kind of starts it off.
That's what I'm saying. That's a theme at Texas. That's so weird.
Yeah. Apparently, Kelly Gruber got offered as a DB, too. But he was going to go play baseball. So I found out about that recently. But Houston, Rod, so there was only the west side upper deck then.
Yeah.
So there weren't as many people. That thing literally was shaking. And someone tweeted that to me today and said, I remember it shaking. And I do, too. I remember asking my dad, like, is this safe up here? And
wow.
You never, ever thought that. But I could tell right away on the first snap, Houston had the ball, and Klingler in that first series or first couple series had to go to hand signals, and you can tell that like he didn't think he was going to have to. It was like, like rarely does the Texas football crowd make a team really adjust like that,
yeah.
And they had to adjust. I don't think they realize just how fired up Austin and UT fans were for them to come.
That's pretty wild.
You know,
and rare.
It was crazy. But yeah, it was swaying and rocking. That's where Wally Pryor had to tell a guy before the game was over with. Texas stormed the field before it was over with. Like, just to tell you kind of where.
And Texas should never be storming
the shouldn't.
Field.
Ron Franklin's doing play-by-play, and yeah. He said, don't do that. Wally Pryor is a PA guy, and he said, someone get that idiot off the goalpost.
Yeah.
Because there's someone hanging on the goalpost.
Storming the field. You shouldn't be doing that.
No, they shouldn't, but it shows you where Texas
Yeah, you're right.
It
shows you the mindset of the fans,
where
though.
The mindset
they
was.
They were rowdy.
And also just how good Houston was. Later on that year, they played Texas A&M. And that was another big one. They hadn't beaten A&M since 1983.
Yeah.
And get that kind of a streak. And A&M, I still think that was a better A&M team than Texas, with Bucky Richardson, Darren Lewis. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that was the Bull Wilson, great team. Ended up blowing out BYU. But Texas had enough for them, 28-27. And that kind of had that feel. I do feel like with fan bases, the loudest they're going to be and the best the environment will be is after they've been struggling and just getting back.
Okay.
Because 98, I went through it, and 98 was really the next one for me that really sounded and felt. And
you Max had, first year?
And you had some 99 years, too, your freshman
98
year.
98 was in Nebraska?
So 98
which
was Nebraska was there. 99 was Nebraska here.
And I put
that on the list. That was a loud,
99 Nebraska
good
was loud.
Crowd.
I remember that.
Remember how the wind shut down the passing game?
Yeah.
Not that. Crouch and them are going to throw a lot.
Yeah, I was like, not that they needed to.
But Major and them, I mean, they had two quarters to really throw the football because Major didn't have the arm to cut through that wind, which also got to, if you go back at the time, this is why we need Chris Sims. This is where Sims can, his arm will cut through that Allen in Buffalo,
He's got an NFL arm. He did have an NFL arm.
But those are the ones that, for me, were just different. OU 89 was my first one there. OU 98 were special. In terms of baseball, there's been a lot of them. Really recently, the Texas A&M Cody Clemens home run.
Oh, I bet that was.
I'm telling you, that's as loud as that place as I've ever heard it. Yeah. I mean, it was rocking. You throw in the A&M thing, too. So going through this, I've got Arkansas in basketball. 1990 and 91. I've got A&M in football and baseball, and you throw Houston in there in 1990 because of just how much Houston had been dominating Texas. But there's always a little bit of a family feel there.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, we know them, and it's going to mean a little bit more. And if you've been beating up on us, that's going to take the Texas crowd, which can get the rep of being wine and cheese crowd. It takes it to a different level. Blue Hairs were standing up on the first play against Houston in 1990 in the upper deck, the rich seats.
Yeah.
They were standing up, and I remember looking around thinking, oh, my God, where is this every week? And can we turn it into this type of school? Well, we really didn't, but we did for special occasions. For special occasions, and a lot of times that is the A&M, OU, Arkansas.
Yeah, the rivals, whether it be a state rival or just obviously one of your natural rivals, that helps. And for Texas, obviously you don't play your rival at home, and you don't play your other rival, Texas A&M, anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, recently, I don't know if Texas would have any of those. I mean, maybe that West Virginia game people talk about, what was that, 2000?
Okay, so
13 or 12
that,
or something?
That, for me, new,
you know what I'm talking
new
about?
School. That is the one.
You remember this?
Yeah, the jump around
was
game.
Was it 12 or 13?
Right? Jump around game?
Yeah, which one was it?
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, it was one of those years of like Max after Max reinvention. This was Geno Smith.
Yeah, Stedman Bailey.
Yeah, Tavon Austin. Yeah,
and they were killing it. They were 5-0, 6-0. They were the top teams.
And then
the
they
country.
Fell off a cliff, I believe, kind of after that game, actually. But I do remember that. That was one of those times where DKR really came to life. Like it was. I don't know if it was moving. Like it was that time you said it, but it was. That was probably as wild as I had seen it recently. The Notre Dame game where Notre Dame. That got a little rowdy toward the end. That one got loud toward the end.
It definitely
got
rowdy.
Because that was when Texas, like, thought they were back. No, we weren't back. But still, you get back. Texas, getting to your point, that is a big game where Texas thought, all right, this is our breakthrough. Texas is coming back. And at that time, there are a lot of fans that believe when Tyrone Swoop scored that touchdown, Texas is back. Around that time, DKR got really raucous.
No, that may be the last one. So getting back to the West Virginia game, I'm glad you brought that up. That's 2012. Number 11, Texas, hosting number 8, West Virginia. Ooh. And they lost 48-45. I felt like
nice.
I had the score in my head.
Nice shootout, too. It was
really
going back
shootout.
And forth. That was a good game. That was, yeah, that was a classic. I do remember that one.
And then for one for baseball that I wanted to throw in there, 1994 Southwest Conference Tournament against Texas Tech in the semifinals specifically. But then even in the final, like, the dish was rocking. And I think some of that was... Now, Texas was still really good then, but it felt like there was a little bit of a drop-off in the program and that Texas Tech was really coming up with Larry Hayes and Frank Anderson, and there was a thought of, okay, like, these guys are serious now, and all of a sudden that semifinal game, it was a hell of a game, but it just took on a different feel at the dish.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And against Tech, too.
It was a nothing-nothing game. Clint Bryant hit a solo shot in the eighth, and then Shea Morenz and Stephen Larkin went back-to-back. And with those two home runs, I can still hear that just ringing in my head.
Is it possible if you get big play, since obviously Texas is going to host regional, super regional, State opened up back up again, everybody's allowing 100%, that you could have one of those moments, clutch situation, where people are just out, they're ready to party.
Yeah.
And you just... have one of those special moments where it is so raucous and so rowdy that it just imprints itself into your memory.
It's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up, too, is that I feel like...
And this team.
I feel like with this team, and because of what you just said, people... You just see it. I saw it on vacation. People are just ready to get out. People are ready to let loose a little bit more than they usually would. And I think we're going to see that with this regional. I think Texas fans, it's going to be packed. They're going to be loud. And they're going to be looking for a reason to get excited.
Yeah. Well, I think we already kind of saw it when they, well, obviously they won the Big 12. So it's a big part of it. But, just everybody, how involved the fans were in that game. How about Occupy Left Field? Obviously a shout out for them. But, how they're interacting with the players. They're always involved. Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's a normal thing for them.
The lead now.
Yeah, that's a normal thing for them. They're always involved. Good point.
So quickly, is there one game that you remember at DKR specifically that really just kind of stood out?
No, I mean, we talked about that 99 Nebraska game. That was big for me. There were maybe a couple of A&M games that got really rowdy. But when I would say in 2001, was that 2001, 2002? Maybe 2002. By then, I think we were a much better team than A&M. I don't know where A&M was ranked by then.
No.
And I'm
trying 2002, we played them here and it was much better.
We were much better, so I don't think the crowd was like, oh, man, it's, getting into the game as much. I wonder.
2001, when Colorado came here, they would have been ranked 14th in the country. Now, you blew them out, though.
Yeah,
it was such a mismatch.
Your crowd never got in. And this, getting to the point, I want to ask you about this. Why didn't we bring up the LSU game? Was it because Texas never got to the point with the crowd where... Because I remember at the beginning of the game, everybody was rowdy.
That's a good point.
But the way the game worked out right early on, remember Texas had that drive and then the Keontae Ingram drop. Well, remember, because they were they had the drop early on and the two drives where they should have scored and they didn't. So I think it was almost an element of disappointment with the crowd early on.
Eric came out with Keontae.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
It was like you took some of the enthusiasm away from the crowd with those first two drives when you didn't score touchdowns. And I think that is actually an example of how you can keep a crowd in a game for you. You can keep them raucous and rowdy for a long time and keep that advantage. I think Texas lost that in that LSU game because that crowd was ready. You were tailgating at the time. That Friday night. They were ready to act like some SEC style fans at the time. They were ready to get crazy.
Yeah, and you're matching your friends or your competition, which are Cajuns.
Exactly.
So you have to dial it up.
And yet we didn't necessarily get it, and I think it's because I got to go look at did we ever lead?
I think Texas did.
Texas did lead.
I mean, it certainly was competitive.
It was competitive.
But I do remember the air coming out with Keontae, because it felt like it's going to be score for score.
It felt like that, and then I think we missed an opportunity to keep the fans in it with the first couple of drives.
All right, we'll take that. If you got any on the Specs text line, 337-3776, we will take your loudest UT crowd that you've ever seen, any sport, or lifetime coaches. What coaches deserve lifetime contracts? We've gotten some good replies. We'll get back to that coming up in a little bit. Up next, though, we have Off the Record. Oh, man, if you were watching local television and bought a sex blanket, we got bad news for you.
DD Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain band comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. This Off the Record actually is courtesy of John Oliver, who does a show on HBO Last Week Tonight, I believe is the name of the show.
I think that's it.
Is it Last Week Tonight?
Yeah.
I've watched it a couple times.
It's been pretty funny.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I mean, John Oliver is actually a pretty funny dude.
Agreed.
But it comes on, I believe it's actually on weekly, comes on Sunday nights. So this past Sunday, and I watched this past episode because my future wife told me about this, and she said, hey, no, it's local. So it's about a local Austin station. He actually ends up mentioning one of the local Austin stations because he does these really cool bits. He's trying to educate you, but he's trying to do it in an entertaining fashion. But he did this past show about sponsored content on local news stations, which is basically where somebody pays to have kind of an infomercial basically bookended with the news somehow.
Right.
Like right with the news or at the end of the news. And even though it's not a part of the news, they want you to think it's part of the news.
Exactly.
That's why they buy the, and everybody wants you to think that. That's why they allow it to happen. So it's called sponsored content. You'll probably see a lot of it and you'll be like, man, what is this?
It's a little bit different than the Ron Popeil 2 a.m. infomercial.
Yeah,
it's just on the station.
It's not an old school infomercial. It's got somebody interviewing the person about the product. But
exactly.
You know, the products have not really been vetted. And that's kind of what he got into, right? John Oliver was like, these products haven't been vetted, and they're trying to trick Americans into believing that these products have some more legitimacy to them and credibility because, oh, the news happened, and then this person who's associated with the news is interviewing this person about their product, so it must be the real deal. It must be authentic. Everything they're saying must be the truth because I just watched the news. So it is kind of a, you know, shady way to do it, but actually it's all legal and good. So anyway, so in the setup, he sets these some of them local stations up. He wanted to see how easy it was to get a ridiculous product with outlandish claims on television. And he created a phony product called the Venus Veil, a sexual wellness blanket. And he hired an actress to promote it, claiming to be, I guess, one of the executives associated with the sexual wellness blanket, the Venus Veil. And he wanted to promote it on 3 local television stations. The product, in reality, is, of course, just a normal blanket. It has no magical it has no magical qualities about it. It can't heal you or anything like that. But trust me, some of the claims were ridiculous. So here is John Oliver actually playing one of these jokes, or at least setting up K-View, one of the local stations here in town, with the Venus Veil. Here it is.
It's just an isolated example. There was no way another station was going to fall for this, right? Absolutely no way. Is there K-View, Austin? Because you wouldn't have let us pay to directly follow your 10 p.m. local news this Thursday, would you? There's no way that happened.
It includes some pretty interesting technology.
Yes, it does. So the team behind the veil was inspired by the field of magnetogenetics. But basically, your blood is full of iron, but it's dispersed in such a way that it isn't affected by normal magnets. So the idea behind the veil is that with the right blend of proprietary magnetic fibers, you can create a self-contained magnetic field that re-stimulates blood flow and gets you feeling like your normal self again.
Very interesting.
Is it? Is it interesting?
No, not very interesting. Among the things
I feel bad for the host or the reporter.
It's not. Yeah.
She doesn't sign off on this.
Exactly.
This is upstairs.
Great point.
They're the ones that need to get crapped
on for this.
They
don't vet any of it. They just decide whoever. And by the way, all they paid for that segment, so you probably out there can afford it if you got some ridiculous item. All they paid was $26.50.
That's it.
To get their little infomercial on there. So theoretically, we probably could try to pull some money together and get us an infomercial. they're not called infomercial. They're sponsored content, but that's essentially the gist of it. This magnetogenetics she talks about.
Magnets.
Yeah. That can find some way to ionize the iron in your blood. It's ridiculous, and they made that up. They also talk about how it was pioneered in Germany, this technology, 80 years ago.
Which would
make it part of the Nazi regime, and that it can get the blood flowing and fix erectile issues and improve vaginal lubrication. It's just a blanket. Yeah, just a blanket.
I like she got into it, though. I mean, with the magnets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, she's
always about blood flow.
The actress is amazing. Like, she's great. She did a good job. She's well prepared. But, yeah, blood flow is one of those easy things. This is, I hate to say this, I'm not getting it. The MyPillow guy is really the architect or one of the architects of this kind of stuff. Like the MyPillow guy made all types of claims about
with the pillow
fixing
and the neck
your slap
and
sleep apnea and asthma and all. He's still being sued for false advertising. Ooh. But people bought all of it. They bought a pillow because they believed that thing could fix all of my issues. Like, well, it's just a pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be a comfortable pillow, but it's still just a pillow.
And if you're desperate to relieve something,
exactly.
Whether it is sexually or with
whatever.
Sleep, man, all of a sudden, you know, it's easy to say, well, you're just a rube and gullible. You get what you deserve. No, that's where.
The magic pill. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants it.
You know the copper fit? You see Jerry Rice in them, the thing that they'll put around like. It looks like
almost
like a back brace.
Yes, I have seen that.
So I have that only for it when and if my back has gone out.
Yeah.
And people will be like, you really think that works? I'm like, no, I'm just using it as a brace. Like, I don't think it does anything
special.
All it does is it's a brace.
What it looks like it does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is a copper fit, John? They claim that it does something to like re-heal
redirect your energy. They use a lot of jargon, much like that woman did in the John Oliver sketch. It sounds vaguely believable, but at the end of the day, it's a Nazi magnet sex blanket.
I will say Tom Brady with TB12 has also been called out for some of these things. He's got some sleepwear that he claimed had some special abilities, some special powers. You remember the Tom Brady sleepwear?
Like
sexually? No. It was just like, you know, to get you, I don't know.
It's like one of those like bracelets, you know?
To get you in a good state. Oh, yeah. Remember the bracelets?
The bracelet.
Yes.
The
bracelet. I still see advertisements for that.
I never bought any of that.
Yeah. Of course you don't.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to act like I stood out of all with that stuff. But obviously some people do.
They did.
Sure have to.
There's someone listening right now that is probably thinking, oh, I saw that segment.
I'm gonna bet there's one person who's wearing it right now.
I've got to cancel it.
Yeah.
Wearing it while they're listening.
Tom
Hopefully it helps.
Tom Brady calls them his recovery pajamas.
Oh, God. Get the hell out of here.
You know, I'm not making that up. That is true. TB12 recovery pajamas. According to Under Armour, the technology works like this. Because the body is a source of energy, similar to a light bulb, it gives off heat. The print on the inside of these pajamas captures the heat and reflects it back onto the body. These are called far infrared rays, and studies have shown that these rays can improve circulation and muscle regeneration. Under Armour therefore claims that these pajamas promote better sleep and recovery to muscles.
Mm.
So I know
this is the stuff why your girl won't let you use the Native American candle. Which I got you a pack of those,
that is so
and you
true.
Still haven't used them.
I haven't used it. And it's not me. She thinks it's dangerous.
It's not
dangerous. Tell the people how it works.
All right, so it's this candle, and you stick it in your ear,
mm-hmm.
and you light the top, and it sucks the wax out. I'm telling you, it is. And
what
you can tell.
What happens to the fire and ash that is burning from the candle?
You get a plate with foil around it, okay? And you poke out a little hole, which I've got it, so I don't have to do that every time.
Okay.
Right? I could make one for you. It's real easy. You put it in there.
Okay.
You've got a bowl of water sitting right there.
Sitting right there in case it goes wrong.
And you have someone else do it. It's a very small, low flame, and it goes all the way down. And then at the very end, she can take it out, dip it in the water. And then the real disgusting part, almost like monkeys picking flies off of each other, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, have you ever had someone who likes to pop zits?
Oh, I've had girlfriends that are into that.
I've had girlfriends.
It's so gross.
That, like, disgusting. Yeah, and it's like, let me pop that zip.
No,
you know,
get away from me.
No, don't do that. Let's not.
Yeah, let's keep the romance alive.
But this I kind of like to do. I like to peel it and see exactly how much wax is in there.
Oh,
and
man.
And then you dump it out, and you're like, unbelievable.
And you said it works. No, and
it works.
I
really
want to do it. But the way you just explained it to the people listening, imagine me trying to explain that to my woman and her saying, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
I know. It's safe.
She's saying,
it's totally safe.
Exactly.
Hey, girl, I'm going to light my ear on fire. Yeah, where's the girlfriend?
Right. Now, I'm going to lay on the couch. I want you to light this thing, put it in my ear, light it on fire, put a plate around it, keep some water just in case the fit is the shan, but then just light it on fire and let it slowly burn out closer to my ear. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets really close there, then you put it out and take it out and put it out.
Right.
Yeah.
It never gets to your ear. Your ear's covered by the plate. Everything's covered.
But everything can also burn.
Now,
it's
if
all...
the flame gets off,
exactly.
It could get on you. But, live a little. Do you want that or do you want wax in your ear? Do you want to be like Chad,
I want to get the
and
wax
we walk
out.
In here and we got to pot everything down because it's like some 90-year-old. You can't hear anything anymore. I will take the lack of wax.
Oh, I like it.
Be better, KVU.
Be better.
I've had some friends that worked at KVU, but that's definitely up top. Don't get on the people that are actually doing it. All right, we're
definitely.
2 hours in. We got 2 hours to go. We definitely want to appreciate John Reichel, who's hanging out. BK taking a personal day. We got our All-American Rod Babers. And up next, we're talking to another lifetime Longhorn, Ty Harrington.